Greetings, and welcome to this, our 27th episode of Sojourn of Souls. These programs are specifically designed for anyone who is attempting to find and follow the path of truth, and for anyone who is searching for directions to that point, that point to that path, and that can benefit from our podcast. We invite you all to join us as we travel along together in this world to live life eternally with God in the next. Hi, I'm Deacon Tim Vaughn, and in this, our 27th episode, I'm going to continue to talk about the importance of the season of Lent and the stations of the cross. There's a great quote by St. Augustine of Hippo about the importance of Lent. And he says, "Fasting cleanses the soul, raises the mind, subjects one's flesh to the spirit, renders the heart contrite and humbles, scatters the clouds of concupiscence, quenches the fires of lust, and kindles the true light of chastity. Enter again into yourself." So with those words, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now for news for those in the pews. Regardless of where you live, I'm sure that the Stations of the Cross are each Friday. Please attend those stations and let them come alive for you as you remember Christ's passion. Walk with him each step of the way on his way to Calvary and mentally feel his sufferings at each station. Try to understand what he did for us as he suffered and died. Be sure to check your parish bulletin for times to have this prayer for Lent. I have had very many devout Catholics tell me that Lent is their favorite time of year. Why would that be? I believe that this time of Lent, they are more focused on the importance of their prayer life, their fasting, and their almsgiving. To them, they want to understand the sacrifices that Jesus went through as he suffered during his passion and death on the cross. So in this podcast, I am going to focus on the history of the Stations of the Cross. To me, it's amazing how many parishioners attend the Stations of the Cross each Friday night and Good Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Why is this so? People have been doing this for centuries. So today we're going to look at the history of the stations. Now to find an accurate history is a bit sketchy. I mean, it's hard to find a very accurate history. I did a lot of research on the history of the stations, and it's very hard to find a very accurate history in a very accurate timeline. But the most important thing is the end product of us following the 14 stations of the cross. The object of the stations is simple. It is to help the faithful in spirit make a pilgrimage with Christ in the chief scenes of Christ's sufferings and death. And this has become one of the most popular Catholic devotions, and is carried out by the passing of one station to the next, with certain prayers at each and a devout meditation on the various incidents in turn. The Stations of the Cross, which follow the path of Christ from Pontius Pilate's Praetorium to Christ's tomb, has been a popular devotion in parishes, especially during Lent and the preparation for Easter. In the 16th century, this pathway was officially entitled Via Dolorosa, which means the sorrowful way, or simply the way of the cross are the stations of the cross. Now, according to ancient tradition, the Blessed Virgin Mary visited the sites of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection on a daily basis after its ascension into heaven. Many other traditions also claim that Jesus married followed Jesus along the road to Calvary. However, in performing this practice, the Blessed Mother did not create a popular devotion with prayers and specific stations to follow. She was just simply trying to relive the powerful events of Jesus' passion and to hold them in her heart, contemplating them, the great sacrifice he made. After Constantine legalized Christianity in the year 312, this pathway was marked with this important stations. Saint Jerome, who lived between 342 and 420, living in Bethlehem during the later part of his life, attests to the crowds of pilgrims from various countries who visited these holy places and followed the way of the cross. Saint Petronius erected a series of connecting chapels that represented locations in Jerusalem at the monastery of St. Stefano in Bologna. However, it was not until the Middle Ages that something like our modern stations began to emerge. Now, to understand the stations of the cross, one needs to examine the medieval mind. Since much of the piety of the Middle Ages was focused on the suffering humanity of Christ, we might want to view the common devotional practices of the time bordering on the morbid. Jesus, bloodied and battered, was the object of an intense medieval devotion. Later on, the Franciscans became active in the development of the stations when they gained custody of the sacred sites of Jerusalem. In 1343, they became promulgating devotion to Christ's passion. In later centuries, one friar, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, expressed his zeal by erecting 571 sets of stations between 1731 and 1751, becoming known as the Preacher of the Way of the Cross. It is likely he was also responsible for reversing the order of the stations so that they ended at Calvary rather than at Pilate's house. Now, an Englishman, William Way, who was a pilgrim to Jerusalem in 1458 through 1462, was the first person to really use the word station when he referred to the different points along the way of the cross. He documented his pilgrimages and commented on the variety of the number of stations used by different groups. When the Muslim Turks closed in on the Holy Land and shut it down to Catholics, European replicas of sacred sites became increasingly popular. Commemorative shrines were set up in as many as 30 different places throughout Europe, and these included the Dominican friaries in Cordoba, the Poor Clare convents in Messina in the early 1400s, in Nuremberg in 1468, Antwerp in 1520, along, like I said, with over 30 locations. While the intent was to recreate a sacred way, the number of stops varied from as many as 42 stations to as few as only 5. Our current number seems to derive more from the pious literature than actual pilgrimage practices. A book written in 1584 lists 12 stations identical to our first 12, and a devotional manual is known as Spiritual Pilgrimage from Germany popularized the idea of 14 stations, but the number was not mandatory. The Diocese of Vienne, for instance, used a set of 11 stations as late as 1799. One popular devotion from Germany seems to have exercised considerable influence over the development of the stations of the cross was the Seven Falls of Christ. Although the Gospels don't mention at all any falls, pious traditions tells that Jesus fell 7 times on the way to Calvary. The number 7 perhaps corresponds to the 7 deadly sins he would have conquered. The stations recall specifically incidents that took place when Jesus went to Calvary, developed along the venerable route. Most of the 14 traditional stations we had today and in the churches throughout the world are taken from the Gospels, most notably from the Gospel of Luke. But other instances are not mentioned in the Gospels. For example, the three particular falls, the meeting with his mother, and the meeting with Veronica, who wipes his face with a cloth. Now, where did these scenes come from? We believe from ancient tradition that they came from the pilgrims devoutly meditating on the passion of Jesus. Jesus was thought to have fallen when he met his mother. Secondly, when Simon of Cyrene took Jesus' cross, and when Veronica used her veil to wipe his face, and when the women of Jerusalem began to weep. Incidents also reflected in our 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th station. The other three falls, which correspond to our 3rd, 7th, and 9th station, may have had no distinguishing characteristics and were retained simply as falls. At the end of the 17th century, the erection of stations in the churches became more and more popular. In 1686, Pope Innocent XI realized that few people could travel to the Holy Land due to Muslim oppression and granted the right to erect stations in all their churches, and that the same indulgences would be given to Franciscans and those afflicted with them for practicing the devotion as if on an annual pilgrimage. Pope Benedict XIII extended these indulgences to all the faithful in 1726. 5 years later, Pope Clement XII permitted stations to be created in all churches and fixed the number at 14. In 1742, Pope Benedict XIV endorsed all priests to enrich their churches with the way of the cross, which must include 14 crosses and are usually accompanied by pictures or images of each particular station. Now, this devotion of the stations of the cross spread rapidly throughout the Roman Catholic world in the 18th century, largely resulting from the preaching of a Franciscan, Saint Leonard of Port Maurice, who erected stations and promoted the devotion in over 500 churches and places throughout Italy. His work was supported by the popes of his time, who saw the devotion as a means of strengthening the faith. Another 18th century saint, who I mentioned many, many times already, St. Alphonsus Liguori, wrote a brief work on the stations that is still used today. Religious communities, like the Jesuits and the Passionists, made devotion part of their missions and retreats. By the 18th century, the Stations of the Cross had become a staple in the Catholic prayer books and in churches throughout England, Ireland, and North America. Because of the several traditional incidents portrayed in the stations are not found in Scripture, Pope Paul VI approved a new gospel-based stations in 1975. Pope John Paul II himself prayed a new scriptural way of the cross, which begins at the Last Supper and ends with the resurrection. So as you enter your parish, there may be an option to pray many different stations of the cross. At our parish, we have three different options. It doesn't matter which option you use, it is a great Lenten devotion. So I urge you to attend the Stations of the Cross, especially on Good Friday. So as we end this particular podcast on the stations, I want you to remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on his passion. And remember that it holds traditionally that he was followed by Holy Mother Mary. So let us end with a prayer to our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now until the hour of our death. Amen. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember Jesus' words, "Wide is the road to destruction." So we remind you to stay on the path, and we ask that St. Raphael, the Archangel of Travelers, Godspeed you on your sojourn.